the book of Job, chapter number 5. And now, every time I think about the book of Job, I heard somebody, it's been a couple of years ago now, I'm sure, and they said that when they got saved, they didn't know anything about the Bible, and they thought that that was Job. There's a book called Job in the Bible, but that's the book of Job. And Job chapter number 5, we'll read a few verses. And I actually was going to preach this message last Sunday. I'd studied, and but I just couldn't get liberty to preach it last Sunday. So the Lord changed the message pretty much about the time we was walking out the door. And so I didn't know if I'd preach it this Sunday or not, but I feel like the Lord's given me the liberty to bring this message this morning. Job chapter 5, let's read verses 8 through 12, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields, to set up on high those that be low, those which mourn may be exalted to safety. And here's where I'm going to preach out of this morning. And I read all those verses to show that this is talking about what the Lord does. What the Lord does. Verse number 12. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you so much this day for all the many blessings you've given to us. And Lord, we just come today, as we've already heard this morning, there are many objects of prayer which we have. A lot of sick people, people that are lost, we've been praying for. God, we just need your help in everything that we do. God, we come today and we ask that you'd be with Preacher Bill as he is over at Friendship this morning and preaching, and just pray you'd give them a good time over there and help them, Lord, as they try to raise their support. We pray for the Austin family preparing to come and move, and we just pray, God, you'd do a mighty work and just help us, Lord, to be a blessing and a help, and Lord, that we might see some souls saved for thy honor and thy glory in our out of the college, Lord. We pray for that outreach. Lord, how exciting to be able to be in on the beginnings of anything you want to do. Lord, thank you for everybody that's here today. I pray you'd speak to our hearts from the Word of God, and I pray you'd help me. Lord, I feel especially needy this morning, and I pray for your touch and your help. I pray your will would be done here today. Lord, that you'd save some soul. Lord, that you would rescue somebody that's in trouble, God, in their lives. Lord, we need your help. We commit it all into your hands, and we ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, let's read Job chapter 5 and verse number 12 one more time. The Bible said, he disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. And I want to especially take note of that word devices there in verse number 12. That's the first time you find the word devices in the Bible. And the word devices there, it means this. It means a contrivance or even a machine. It can mean a machine, an intention, or a plan that somebody might have. And it's talking about here how that God, he can spoil, he can disappoint the devices of the crafty. You know, the crafty one, you know who that is this morning. That's talking about the devil. He's the father of lying and deceit and craftiness and all of those things. And what got me thinking about preaching on this was a preacher friend of mine. He was telling me that how he had learned how that three strategically placed nuclear devices in America could destroy our nation. Not kill everybody in the nation, but could effectively destroy the United States of America. Three three, you imagine that this morning, if the right person could get the right devices in the right place, it could destroy the United States of America. And he was telling me about a man who knew about things like this, who was in the military and who had actually worked on the original atomic bomb and things of that nature, a nuclear bomber, an atomic bomber, something like that. And I begin to think about that. You know, there are 313 million people lives in the United States of America. That's a lot of people. The landmass of America is 3.79 million square miles. I mean, we live in a huge, huge country. And to think about this morning that three nuclear devices could destroy the whole nation, that's a pretty big device. I mean, that's a pretty big bomb when you get to thinking about it. And so that got me thinking about this subject, and I began to study about devices and the Word of God and bombs and nuclear explosions and all those things. I found out some very interesting things. You know, during World War II, America possessed three nuclear bombs. Did you know that? What you say, preacher, why did they only have three nuclear bombs? They thought the first nation that could develop this technology of developing an atomic bomb, they could control the world. And the reason why they built three atomic bombs is because they thought that's all they'd need. So they didn't build 100 of these things or even 1,000 of these things. They built three atomic bombs. And you know what? It only took two to stop World War II. And so I began to think about these and study these. I began to study devices in the Bible. Devices in the Bible, the word devices, you will find it 16 places in the Bible. I'm not going to go to all those places this morning, but as I read each of the verses that has the word devices in the verse, I found out some things about devices. Devices in the Bible are always used against people. The devil uses his devices against people, usually against the people of the church, or what we might say God's people. They are associated with craftiness and cunning. In fact, in our verse here it says, he disappointeth the devices of the crafty. I've already pointed that out this morning. They're associated with craft and cunning. They're associated with imaginations or persecutions against God's people. They're associated with destruction and wickedness and the Antichrist in Daniel chapter number 11. Probably the most famous verse in the Bible. In fact, when I first studied about this, I could only think of one verse in the Bible that used the word devices. And that is 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. I couldn't think, or I didn't know about these other ones that I found, but probably the most famous verse in the Bible that has the word devices is 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11. And Paul is talking about the devil there, and he says we ought to be aware, because he said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And that word devices over there means thought, that which is thought out. Do you know the devil is not going around just willy-nilly trying to destroy people's lives? He has a well thought out plan against you, against me, against your family, against my family, against the church, against the people of God, to destroy us and to tear us down and to ruin and wreck our lives and our testimony. The devil has a well thought out plan concerning these things. Now, I want to try to preach this morning on the subject, devices that destroy. And the thought came to my mind, if an enemy could destroy the United States with only three nuclear devices, then surely the devil could destroy our nation with only three of his devices. The devil could destroy your family with three things. Probably wouldn't even take him three to destroy us. Now, if you're saved by the grace of God, he cannot cause you to lose your salvation and die and go to hell. But I'll tell you what, he can destroy a church. He can destroy a family. He can destroy a life. And you know what? The funny thing is, really, it's not funny, it's sad. But the devil does not have to change devices. He uses the same things over and over and over again to trip us up and to cause us to ruin our lives and ruin our testimony and wreck our families. And he does that. He is so successful in that because he's an expert and we forget. He's an expert and we forget. But Paul said we're not ignorant of his devices. So I'm just going to give you three things this morning concerning devices that destroy. And if the devil can get these devices into our lives, he can destroy us. And first of all, I want to say this morning, we could say there's a device that we could call division. If the devil can get division into our lives, if the devil can get division into the church, if the devil can get division into our nation, he can destroy us. Over in Matthew chapter number 12, I was reading over there about the Pharisees and how much they hated the Lord Jesus Christ, and they had observed that the Lord Jesus had the power to cast out devils. And they accused him over there of casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub. And so what they were saying, they were accusing Jesus of casting out devils by the power of the devil. And if we were to take time to go over there this morning and read in Matthew chapter number 12, we would see how Jesus rebuked them and how Jesus pointed out how foolish that would be for the devil to cast out devils. And he said in verse number 25, every kingdom, every city, every house divided against itself shall not stand. If the devil cast out devils, he'd be destroying his own kingdom. And that's what he pointed out to the Pharisees. How foolish that would be for the devil to cast out devils. Even the devil knows that kind of division in one's kingdom would destroy. He'd be destroying his own kingdom. Do you know what? That God knows that division destroys. And the devil even knows that division destroys. And don't you think this morning it'd be good for us to know also that division destroys? You say, preacher, what are you getting at this morning? Well, I know this. If the devil could drive a wedge between me and my wife, he could destroy our family. And the devil, I mean, he's expert. He knows all kinds of ways. He has all kinds of devices to carry out these things. You know, I'll tell you what, a lot of times people will come along and they'll say, well, we're not talking to each other. We're mad at each other. You know what that is? That is a recipe for divorce. When the devil can get a husband and a wife just simply not talking to each other. Mad at each other. And it goes on for hours. And it goes on for days. And sometimes it goes on for weeks at a time. I was studying about this and it led me over. I got to thinking about in Esther, the book of Esther, chapter number 1. There's King Ahasuerus over there and Queen Vashti over there. And I didn't study it all out, but I really believe you could take the king and the queen over there and you could preach a good series of messages to the family about how to destroy a family, because you know what I found over there? Old King Ahasuerus, he was just going around doing his own thing. You ever studied that over there? He's over there with the guys. He's over there, they're having a big party, and it's going on days and days and days at a time. And the king is over there, he's just doing his own thing. And then you read on over there in the Bible, and you'll find that Queen Vashti, she's over here somewhere else, and she's doing her own thing. I don't believe that's God's will for husbands and wives to carry on separate lives in what something that God says ought to be one life and one flesh. That's a recipe for disaster right there. And then the old king, you all know how the story goes. He finally gets around to wanting something off of the queen, and he sends for her, and I'm not going to preach on all that, but you know, her pride's hurt and she won't come, and his pride's hurt and he has to do something, and the next thing you know, there's a split, there's a divorce, it affects the whole kingdom, and I'm telling you, if the devil can just find somewhere to drive a wedge into our families, he's gone a long way to destroying our families. People, they fall for that all the time. Well, we just don't talk. I like what something I heard a preacher say the other day. He said, some people think I'm against dating. He said, I'm not against dating. He said, I make it a point every week to have a date with my wife. He said, I just believe you ought to wait to date till after you get married. And I thought that's pretty good. Dating's divorce practice. You know that, don't you? Changing out and boyfriends and girlfriends and going through, I'll tell you what, and a lot of times when people get married, they come in 10 or 12 down the line of destroyed relationships and hearts that have been broken and disappointments and all of these things. And so the devil uses all kinds of things to destroy our families. And if he could drive a wedge between a husband and a wife and get them not to talk, and if he could drive a wedge between the parents and their children and get them to where they say, well, we just don't understand each other, and mama don't know and daddy don't know, and I'm telling you, the devil does it all the time. He gets young people to the place where they think more of their friends, their teachers, and their young influences or other influences in their life. Then they think about their own mother and their father, and I'll tell you, that's a recipe for division in a family and in a church and in a nation, and it's not something that builds up, it's something that tears down. I got a letter a while back from Brother Williams, who has the girls' home, and he was talking about in that letter how that in the past few years he's seen over and over again. He said, how do you get a young girl who has been raised right, has godly parents and godly influences in her life, and knows right and knows the Bible and seemingly loves the Lord? How do you ruin a young girl? He said, I've seen it over and over. He said, introduce a boyfriend into her life that doesn't love God and don't want anything to, and he said in a girl's life, there's just something, she'll forsake her church, she'll forsake the Word of God, she'll forsake the pastor, she'll forsake her family, and I'm telling you, the devil knows how to drive division into our lives. Get families split all to pieces. The devil's an expert at driving a wedge between the church and the people. I don't believe I've ever seen a time where there's more churches that don't have pastors, more churches that can't keep a pastor. And I'll tell you, they'll be there and they'll be gone. And what is wrong many, many times is people can't talk with each other. They can't work anything out. I told Brother Jason this morning, I said, pastoring is not for wimps. I mean, it'd be, I'm speaking from a pastor's viewpoint, and don't feel sorry for me because I love it, and I feel sorry for evangelists that have to go around, spend a week in a motel room and be somewhere. I'm not interested in that, but I'm telling you, it takes some backbone, it takes some courage to stay somewhere and work through the problems and get over things and get through things, and while something's exciting somewhere else, somebody might run off, but the preacher can't run off. You got to stick with the stuff. I'll tell you though, the devil, he knows how to drive a wedge. cause problems and divisions and fightings and strife and fussing and all of these things. If the devil can drive a wedge in the church, he can destroy the church. If the devil can drive a wedge between the people and the government and one another, he can destroy the nation. We're witnessing before our eyes the destruction of our nation. People can't agree on nothing. We are divided on every category, every major category, every subcategory. I mean, people can't decide and be together on nothing in our nation. Wonder who's behind that. You know what has in times past made our nation great? I pledge allegiance to the flag and to the republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. One nation under God, indivisible. But do you know what? If you take God out of the nation, all you've got is division. You don't have liberty and justice for all. You don't have liberty and justice for nobody. That's where we're at in America today. Would you believe if I told you, I know you would believe this, this banner, I'm going to read something to you this morning. This banner was removed from the Cranston High School West. I believe it's in the state of New Jersey. It was removed. It was a gift from the first graduating class of the Cranston High School in 1963. This banner hung in the school for 49 years until a little 14 or 16 year old atheist come along and said that offended her. This was last year in 2011. This banner was removed from the high school in January of 2012. A district court judge, Ronald Legault, ordered the banner to be removed. The girl hadn't even noticed the banner hanging there until somebody pointed it out. But when somebody pointed it out to her, she got offended. Now, I want you to listen to how awful this is. That somebody would get offended by it and go all the way to court to have it removed from a public high school. Here's what the banner said. 1963, first graduating class, made a gift back to the school, and here's what it said. Our Heavenly Father, grant us each day the desire to do our best, to grow mentally and morally as well as physically, to be kind and helpful to our classmates and teachers, to be honest with ourselves as well as with others. Help us to be good sports and smile when we lose as well as when we win. Teach us the value of true friendship. Help us always to conduct ourselves so as to bring credit to Cranston High School West. Amen. Isn't that awful? Isn't that awful that somebody, that a prayer would hang in a school to be no true friendship and be good to each other and be morally, I mean, that's awful. She was offended by the Heavenly Father and the Amen part. And the judge ordered to take it down. Now, the Bible said in Psalms 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I'm telling you, the devil's done a pretty good job at dividing our country to the point where our foundations are being destroyed. And if something like that offends somebody and they take it to court and the court acts upon it and one person, isn't it interesting how one atheist, how one homosexual, how one liberal can destroy and tear down so much good? It's been down through the years. I'll tell you, that's where we are at in our nation today. And I'll tell you, the only thing that's going to save us is that there's got to be a move of God in our midst and some people that'll do like Nehemiah did when he heard that the walls were broken down. He said, so I cried and I prayed and I sat down and I wept and I fasted certain days. He got tore up over the situation, division. That's where we're at. People can't agree on nothing. And this vote that we just had, that ought to remind us and show us how divided our nation is over something. It shouldn't even be a question. Wouldn't even have been a question 25, 30 years ago. We'd have to vote on whether marriage should be between a man and a woman, or can men marry men and women marry women, and do you know what will come next? Maybe a man wants to have three wives or four wives, or maybe a woman wants to marry a little boy, or I mean, where's there going to be an end to any of it? We don't want to offend nobody. God forbid we'd have some absolute things that are right and wrong. But division. Division will destroy your family. Division will destroy the church. Division will destroy the nation. He has a device called division. Second of all, this morning, there's a device called diversion. If the devil could just get us diverted from what's really important and right. Matthew 6:33 said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Put God first and He'll take care of the rest. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Do what's right and do what God wants first. And everything else, God will take care of all the rest of that stuff. But I'll tell you, if the devil could get us diverted from that. The Bible said in Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Wonder why so many in our nations tore all to pieces. Bible said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee," stayed on the Lord. But if the devil could get our attention off of the Lord and off of the Word of God, he'd tear us all to pieces. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If the devil could get our mind and heart and our trust off the Lord and onto other things, couldn't he really destroy us by doing that? There's a device called a diversion. A diversion is anything that diverts our attention or our actions away from what's truly important. Look at all the things that steal our hearts away, steal our mind away, steal our attention off of the things of God, and take our rob us of our peace and our joy and our direction and in our lives. There is no end to devices that divert us. I mean, it's everything. Used to be to watch TV, you had to quit what you was doing. You had to go in the house. You had to turn it on. You had to get up out of the easy chair to change the channels. But I'll tell you now, you don't even have to be at home to be diverted like that. There's computers, there's phones, there's no end to diverting our attention, and people can't have their mind on God or even think about God. One thing after another thing, and all this stuff drawing our attention away. And I mean everything, Facebook and DVDs and movies, and I mean, is there no end to all this stuff? Hard to squeeze a little Bible time in the midst of all that. If you don't make up your mind, you're going to. Well, I tell you, you can get diverted. You can get your mind off of things. The Bible says, the Word of God says in Psalms in 90 in verse number 12, it says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." I'd like to challenge you something this morning. I'd like to challenge you in the week ahead. Just get your little notebook. Doesn't have to be big. Carry it around in your pocket. Just write down how you spend your time. The Bible said, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Now, if you don't ever think about how you're wasting your time, if it has never brought to your attention and you don't have ever really face up to how you're living your days, you won't change a thing. Keep a log. Say, "I spent 2 hours Monday morning watching TV and on Facebook. And then go throughout the day of what you spent time doing. And you know, whatever you did, washed it, clean house, or was it work? And you know, just pay attention to how you spend your time. Do you know, when I was a young preacher, I got in a habit in my life that I would not watch TV more. I would never a day spend more time watching TV than I did reading the Word of God and in prayer. I used to have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and go to work. So I would get up at 4 o'clock so I could spend at least an hour and a half reading my Bible, studying the Word of God, and in prayer before I ever went to work, because I knew that once I got to work, my day is started and gone. See, it's going to take some discipline. Preacher, are you saying that you ought not to watch TV, that it's sinful or something like that? Well, I guess that depends on what you're watching. But I'll tell you, David said in Psalms 101 and verse 3, he said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me, is what David said. So if it's ungodly, yeah, it's sinful to watch it. If it's against God, and I'll tell you, that really cuts it down. That'd really cut it down. What we do and what we see, it affects us. It diverts our attention away from the things of God and the ways of God. I tell you this morning, it's a sin to waste time. Because time's the only thing you've got. And you don't know how much time you don't. There's not a person here today knows if you've got tomorrow. Nobody will ever sit in a rest home and say, I wish I'd have wasted more time. Wish I'd have watched more TV. Wish I'd have had more hobbies instead of spending time with my children. I wish I'd have read more junk novels and knew less about the Word of God than I do. See what I'm saying? But if the devil could just divert our attention and keep us away from what's really important in life and what we know that we ought to be doing, why, he could do a whole lot in our lives. I've thought a whole lot here in the past several months. You know, if our young people are fighting the things that they're fighting, that are pulling for their attention, if you young people don't have some discipline in your lives, where's our Sunday school teachers going to come from? Where's our mamas and daddies going to have enough God about them to raise a family of their own one of these days if they don't learn how to conduct their time wisely? Where's our piano players of the future going to come from, and song leaders and people that knows about the things of God? Where are they going to come from? If we counted up all the time we wasted on wasteful things, it ain't no telling what could be sitting right here in this church. We live in day and time. Nobody knows how to play the piano. Nobody knows how to do nothing. I'll tell you, I go to churches all the time. I've been out to Oklahoma and up in Alaska and play. I mean, there's churches in this county doesn't have nobody can play the piano. TV stole our piano players. Stole the talent out of our churches, where we're looking around and we're in a deficit because people's minds is diverted. They don't have a discipline to stick with something and be something for God. So diversion is something. Our whole nation, they talk today about ADD, attention deficit disorder. Our whole nation has ADD. They can't pay attention to nothing for very long at all. They can't even think for themselves. There's diversion. There's division. Last of all this morning, there's delusion. If the devil could just get us not seeing things how they really are, he can destroy our nation, our churches, and our families. The Bible says one of the saddest verses in all the Word of God is Matthew 7 and verse 22, where the Bible says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name cast out devils? Then will I say unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. There's a lot of people, according to that verse, there's a lot of people dies and goes to hell don't know why they died and went to hell. And when they finally get to say a word before God at the final judgment, they're going to say, hey, what about everything we done? They've been in hell all that time. They still don't know why they're there. But seeing a delusion gets you to thinking everything's all right when really it's not all right. And I believe our whole day's a cloud of delusion over the United States of America and our churches and our families. The last days are going to be days that are characterized by deceit and fraud and lies and delusion. We're living in the last days. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, our only safeguard against being deceived is the Word of God. That's your only safeguard. Paul said we are not ignorant of his devices. Talking about the well thought out plan the devil has to destroy each and every one of us. We're not ignorant of his devices unless we're ignorant of the Word of God. And whatever you're ignorant of concerning the Word of God, that's where the devil's going to attack you. If you know better, you have the atomic bomb to answer the devil's atomic bomb. But if you don't know better, if you don't know what the Word of God said, this is scary. Let me tell you something this morning. It don't matter how much you come to church. It does not matter how dedicated you are. It doesn't matter how much you love the Lord. It doesn't matter if you know every song in the songbook. If you are ignorant concerning anything concerning the Word of God, that's where the devil will attack you, and he'll have victory there. This is your defense. This is the sword of the Spirit. Well, that puts a lot of pressure on us to know the Word of God. How else can you explain that in America, just as many evangelical Christians, in fact, I read last night, there are percentage-wise more people in the church that's got divorce than there is in the world. Because we're living in Mickey Mouse days when it comes to the Scripture. People don't know the Word of God. They don't live by the Word of God. It doesn't mean nothing to them. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if we don't even know the devil's out there, of course he's going to attack us. And he's going to destroy us. The Bible says in Job chapter 5 verse 12, thank God that there's one in heaven that can disappoint the devices of the crafty so that their hands could not perform their enterprise. See, the devil has all kinds of devices to destroy us, but God's got a device to keep us. And that's the Word of God. He's given us the Word of God to teach us and guide us and instruct us through this life. But it talks there about the devices of the crafty. Do you know, when I was growing up, we used to watch cartoons all the time, and they were good cartoons. Bugs Bunny and Wile E. Coyote and Elmer Fudd and all that. So we used to watch all that stuff. I love them old cartoons. But you know, in them old cartoons, if they had a bomb, it was a bundle of dynamite, and it was lit and a fuse, and everybody knew that. You know, it was obvious. If there was a bomb, there's a big black ball with a fuse out of it, and it said bomb on it. Everybody knew that's make believe. That's fun. But you know what? The devil doesn't do that. The devil hides his devices. Well, if you go to the airport, let me give you a hint. If you've never flown, you better not be talking about joking, about bombs, about carrying no guns, about shooting nobody. I'm telling you, you go down there, you better take a bunch of Rolaids with you. I told Kim the other day, I said, all this flying I've done this spring, I've noticed just in the past few years, nobody even talks no more. I'm serious. You get on a plane, you sit down, it's like deathly silence. Like everybody's just waiting something bad to happen. People don't talk in the, it's like you might as well be on there by yourself. You don't hear no conversations. Everybody's got their ears plugged in. But I'll tell you what, don't leave your bag laying around. Go to the bathroom or anything, because you'll miss your flight. Because somehow come through and they'll say, there's a strange package. There's a bag that's left unattended. It might be a bomb. And they evacuate everybody, upset everything. That's how devices are. They're sneaky. They're hidden. They have to be discovered. They have to be. Here's what a bomb squad will do. They want to discover a device. They want to defuse the device. And then they'll take the device out somewhere and they'll blow it up. They'll destroy the device. You know, that's what we have to do in our lives as well. You better take a good look around and see that, is there any devices in your life? And when you find them devices in your life, whether they're personally, whether they're in your family, whatever it is that's dividing you and diverting you and deluding you, then you ought to defuse that with the Word of God. And you need to destroy that thing by the grace of God. The devil has devices that destroy. We live in a fairy tale world where, you know, the greatest problem in the world can be solved in an hour. You know, you watch something on TV, world's going to blow up one at the first part, and by the end, you know, everything's happening. That's not the world we live in. We live in a real world where all prodigals do not come home and everything's not a happy ending. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, I'm telling you this morning, the devil is trying to destroy your life. Every one of you, you young people, you old people, you middle aged, you families, husbands, wives, the devil is actively right now trying to destroy your life. And just recognizing that is a long ways to getting victory by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.